Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. We're all storytellers, whether we realize it or not. We create narratives in our minds about who we are, why things happen the way they do, and where we're going. This ability gives us the responsibility to tell stories that are meaningful and beneficial to ourselves and others. Scotty Crow, my guest today, has been helping people do just that through his work in education and social justice. Scotty is an actor, writer, host, and filmmaker. He first started working in entertainment as John Mayer's tour manager and has spent much of the last decade working with young people, specifically around writing their narrative and discovering their voice. He believes deeply in the power of storytelling, the joy of self-expression, and the importance of inclusion. During our conversation, Scotty and I discuss about the different ways we can use our ability to tell stories, including tapping into our inner potential, expressing our creativity and talents, and using it to advocate for the causes that are important to us. Hi, Scotty. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon. I'm feeling pretty good. It's a pleasure to be talking to you.
Yeah. Thanks for making some time to be on the show. We had the opportunity to briefly meet in person when you came in as a guest speaker at one of my journalism classes. And I really enjoyed what you shared with us. And I'm really happy that we could reconnect and, you know, talk again on this podcast.
Same. Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you and maybe dig a little deeper about what we talked about and share some other things that might be helpful.
Right. So I read a little bit about your background and I noticed that you have skills and experience in many creative fields. But yeah, you do. But I'd love to hear about your work in education and social justice and what drew you to being part of all those projects you were involved in?
Oh, sure. So I think in my mind, those two things, I know that they're definitely linked, but I feel like my pathway into those two areas, both education and social justice, were sort of different, but parallel. I think with education, I started working with this really beautiful organization here in Los Angeles called Young Storytellers. And at the time, I moved to LA to be a writer and an actor, and I saw Young Storytellers was this program where they were taking folks and pairing them with 10-year-olds, with fifth graders, and a mentor who could be anybody, any adult, would help this fifth grader write a screenplay. And so got to do a little bit of instruction, but ultimately was about elevating that young person's voice and letting them know that they had a story that they could share. And then at the end of the program, we would bring in professional actors and they would act on stage. And it really was just an opportunity, I think, because I was curious about what it was like to take a lot of the work that I was doing professionally and sort of distill it into something that a young mind could comprehend and use. And so that really was like, it started as something that just felt really fun and rewarding in a lot of ways. And then through that, I did a lot more work with Young Storytellers, working with different populations of students and different grade levels, testing out different programs with them, which was great, which led me to work for this other education nonprofit called the Future Project. And I think that's when the really conscious interest in social justice started to intersect a little bit. I felt really that this is in late 2016, early 2017. And I'm sure a lot of people were going through a phase in life where I felt like I'd realized that I needed to put a lot of the work that I was doing to something that was connected to a greater cause. And I really, it really comes back to, I think that I've lived a very fortunate life and gotten a lot of really great breaks and been able to do a lot of, I mean, you mentioned I have a lot of different creative projects, but that's really the result of a lot of people trusting me and believing in me to make stuff, whether it's in music or film or writing or photography or graphic, all these different things. And I think that all of that experience has given me a really unique position in life, but also I then feel a responsibility to be able to share that with folks who may not have those same exposures and those same opportunities. And so the reason I was drawn to the Future Project was really an effort to take a lot of those different fields that I had interest or experience in and see if I might be able to go and work with young people and say like, oh, do you want to like design a fashion line? I know a little bit about that. Let's do it. Do you want to try to record a mixtape? Let's do it. Do you want to put together an event? I know a little bit about that. Let's do it. And so, so I think that even though that was inspired a little bit by civil justice and social justice and racial justice, I think that ultimately it felt very personal to me and very aligned kind of on this path that I was on, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely does. And why was it personally significant to you?
Well, I think that I grew up in the South. I grew up in Southeast Georgia, and I think we set up this time like to talk, you know, several weeks ago, and now we're in the middle of an experience that I think that we'll remember for the rest of our lives. It's, you know, an sure. uprising and, mm-hmm. and a lot of things are being brought up for us. And right. I think that it reminds me so much that a lot of my own personal values, especially when it comes to equity and racial justice, were really foundational from like where I grew up and the part of the country that I grew up in. And I think that, to get really specific, I had this moment, in, I think 2014, 2015, where I watched the movie Selma. Mm-hmm. And
great movie.
Great movie, beautiful movie. Mm-hmm. And there's this moment where, you know, these four men who are at the sort of the figureheads of that iteration of the civil rights movement are walking together. And, you know, it's John Lewis and Martin Luther King and Hosea Williams and I know all those names, but I also know those names because those were streets that I used to live on. I used to grow up on, when I lived in Atlanta. And so there's something I think that feels like very personal in this like bigger fight, just because there's that, like my story feels connected to their story through watching that film, because of where I'm from and like, and the structures that I grew up in. So, mm-hmm. so I think that ultimately I think sparked something. And then, because of that, a lot of these larger issues, whether it's the results of elections or incidents that happen in faraway places, they do feel connected and they do feel personal because of, I think, the deep value that I have based on where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And that influenced you to work with a lot of young people, particularly minorities. And you briefly mentioned that you were instrumental in helping them, you know, discover their voice through storytelling. So I'm curious to know, what are some of the principles that can help us develop that personal narrative and a narrative that's empowering?
Sure. Yeah. I think that the groups of young people that I've been able to work with have, for the most part, been in schools or in communities that may not have afforded them either opportunities or resources that felt balanced, I think, especially in terms of the creative arts and in focuses that relate to creative self-expression. And so that's sort of been the way into those groups more than anything. There's like, I think in terms of principles, I mean, the things that I think I've sort of leaned on, maybe there's, I guess, like three like main tenets. And one is a mentor of mine. I'll shout her out. Her name's Erilyn Ambrose, but I met her through Young Storytellers. And she told me early on that stories are very important, and we should share stories rather than opinions, because an opinion is a story that's been robbed of its narrative. And I just really love that. And I think that to me is
an opinion.
An opinion is a story that has been robbed. that's been robbed of its narrative.
Oh, that's interesting. I never heard that before.
Right. It was new to me when she told me, but it really resonated. And I think that for me, it gives me like this focus with which to how to share how I feel about something and what I'm going through. If I stick to my story because it's tied to my narrative versus sharing an opinion, that could be incendiary or it could be, less whole than a story. And so I think that when I've worked with young people, I find myself coming back to that. Just in terms of, I think, feeling that the things that I'm sharing and the things that someone I'm working with is sharing feels true. I think that from a more like structural standpoint, become a huge fan of Marshall Gans and the creation of public narrative, which you probably know and folks probably know, but this mm-hmm. idea of like, what is the story of me? What is the story of you and I? And what is the story of like why we need to do something now? And a lot of the work that I've done is, I think, broken down into one of those three components and worked really hard on like, what does it look like to develop a really powerful story of self, whether you're a 35-year-old activist or whether you're, a 10-year-old student who also cares about things that matter. It's just that the vehicle for sharing those might look a little different. So those two. And then I think the other thing is like, when I first started working with young storytellers, this idea was that, everyone has a story that's brilliant. And I really love that idea as true as it is to that group of young people. I think it is true that like, there's power in everyone's story, whether regardless of the struggle or regardless of where I've come from, that there's power in the talking out of those stories through a different medium that feels right for somebody. And I think that finding out with any young person what medium is best for them has been a really big eye opener for me, because for some it's poetry, for some it's being on stage and talking, for some it's recording music, it's so many different ways. And I think that's been a really beautiful thing to experience, is walking into a room and seeing which area lights students up in a different way.
I love that. So it's through these creative outlets that they start getting a sense of self.
Yes. Yes, for sure. I think those things work in tandem. So I think that there's a little bit of self-exploration in terms of identity and an understanding of values and understanding what are the components to making the story. And then I think it bridges into what is the expression of that, right? So it's like finding out what tools we have to work with and then putting those tools to work. And I think the way that those tools are put to work could be a different medium that speaks to different folks, right? And I think that like a lot of that I've been fortunate to be around has been around like, say, project building or event creation or bringing in a panelist and having students work on those different projects that are in service of their story, but are ultimately look very different from the outset.
What do you mean by that?
So for example, I think that we would I had the pleasure of working at this New York City public high school, and we had a couple of values that we established from the beginning of the year. And one of them was to create a sense of belonging. And another one was to sort of, to make the school feel like it had more sort of school pride, if that makes sense. And we found that there were so many different ways to plug into those two different values. And students could do that on an individual project basis. So maybe it was sharing a story, sharing a speech, writing a poem, or there were larger things that happened, like the creation of a school newspaper or the a school mural or leading this huge assembly day. But I think ultimately they all tied back to these values and were rooted in what is my personal identity and how can I plug that into this larger project that we're doing.
Right. Okay, that's interesting. And something that you were able to do was use your voice and your creativity to advocate for these causes that are really important to you around social justice and equality. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to know, what advice would you have for people who would like to do the same thing, you know, use their creativity to make a difference?
Sure. Thank you for saying that. I definitely feel like I'm hopefully on the path to doing that. I find myself.
I think you are on the path. You're well on your way.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. No, I think. I think there's always that feeling, you know, of what else can we be doing that feels like it's making
a
difference. I think that sort of to go back to what I was saying earlier, I think that I really do believe in this power of story to connect folks. And I think that it operates, even as it's sort of this buzzword and folks talk about storytelling, I think that it really has such important value. And I think it's a path to connection and reconciliation. I think it's a path to like connecting people over things that are like policies and issues or campaigns. I think that it is a more valuable tool for people to listen to versus like headlines and data and statistics. Even those things are important too. I just think that this like power of story is the thing that moves us. It moves our hearts and it moves our minds. And so I think that's the first thing is like, if I'm with anybody and they have something that they really care about and they want to get motivated into action, I think there's obviously a lot of actions that could happen right away, but I feel like the most powerful thing is to really hone in on like, how does one's personal story connect to this thing that they really care about? And then again, how can that be expressed? Like, what is the medium for that? So I think that like, that's, I think one really important thing that's like some sort of individual personal work. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that I'll say I've observed.
So finding that outlet first, finding what works for you. Like for me, it was writing. Right from the start, I knew that writing was my way of doing that, and that's what I essentially do on my blog. So, I think as you mentioned, just a bit of experimentation and seeing, you know, what works for you.
Totally, I think it's like, and I want to say too, it's like there are outlets that feel a little more creative, which I think I've probably mentioned a lot of, mm-hmm. but then I think there's also really kind of like functional ways that can look like as well, right? It's like maybe somebody's not a writer and they're not a photographer and they're not a musician, but they have a great network of people and they're great at getting people together, you know. Mm-hmm. And then like what can that look like, and then how can that personal story connect to what that gathering is? And so I think that there's so many different ways that this can look, but I think you're right. It's like we used to do this, have this like Venn diagram exercise where it was like what are your like really strong skills? And then what do you really care about? And somewhere in the intersection of those things, and then maybe what are your interests? Somewhere in the intersection of those things, there's something that really like aligns with, cool, I really care about this issue. Here's like all my skill set and here's the things I'm really interested in. What does that look like if I combine those things? So, so I think there's something there in terms of honing in on where the focus is. And the other thing I'll just say is like, over the past couple of years, I have worked with a couple of different organizations that have been involved in like civic leadership and electoral politics and different issues, like campaign issues and trying to mobilize people and organize people. And all of those things need like creative, thoughtful, mindful support in so many ways. You know, it's like, I think that if somebody out there is hearing this and they are a writer or they are an organizer or they are a graphic designer, like I think go to these people who are aligned and doing this work with issues that you are concerned about, and you know, see if they need support in designing something, writing something, getting the world out. Like if you have a platform to amplify voices, like in the way that you're doing, I think that I just wanted, like, when I was thinking about this before, I was like, there are so many like commercials made for like political issues and social issues. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's still a gap between like the level that those are happening and the level at which like brands and corporations and mm-hmm. like music videos are being made. You know what I mean? There's a creativity production gap in there. And I think that as this goes along, I feel like more people who are quote professional will start to move over. But in the meantime, I feel like there's so many folks out there who have incredible skills that could be put to great use around causes that matter. And so that I think is a call that I would love for people to step up to more and say like, oh, I love this person who's running for mayor or city council in my town or DA in my town. And I really care about that. can I help them make a dope, like, 30-second video for their socials, you know?
Right. I love that you say that, because I think most people these days think that only the people with platforms, like influencers or celebrities, only they can truly make an impact. But what you're saying is anyone who has a skill set can do, you know, small little projects or contributions that can help out, can help organizations.
Absolutely. I think that actually it's like there's I think that anyone can be an important part of something that they care about. I really feel that in that way. Like, you don't have to have the biggest platform or have the most experience to make a difference now. It's like the wonderful thing about technology and the power of what our phones can do in our hand is, like, anyone can be a creative and contribute on any level. And so I think that there's really we're all sort of on a neutral playing field in terms of that, which is really great. And the other side is, I think we see every day, like, the power of folks who are just, like, convicted by something, you know, young, old, from all different backgrounds, that just, like, who have something that's really true and it rings true, and they put it out into the world, and then it makes waves and reverberates. And so I just think that now is not the time to be apprehensive because of a lack of, like, say, experience or platform resources. Necessarily, because those things will come, right? And so
It's great. And, you know, we need people like you and, you know, the organizations that you work for to encourage young people to you know, be able to express themselves and feel comfortable in sharing their strengths and their skills.
Absolutely. I think, and I'll just say on that, I feel like I've been, you know, I obviously, like I said, came into doing some of the work that I've been investing in with this feeling of specific calling to do that. But I'll say that, you know, all of the students that I met who are at high school level and above that I worked with were already doing so much of this work, and they then become an amazing resource for me to learn both, like, what are the issues that are rubbing against them the most, and then what is their creative outlook look like, and, like, how do they share news and share what they care about. And so it's also, as an adult, it's also been something really gratifying and educational to learn from the young people as I also try to, like, impart them, like, skills and inspiration on my side as well.
Yeah, because I think every generation, they come in with their own, you know, their own unique outlook. And, you know, like, the Gen Zs, they're the Gen Zs, right? The ones that you work with.
They are, yes.
Yeah. And you're a millennial like me, I'm guessing?
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Okay. Yeah.
And a lot of my friends, because we're on the older millennial side, they don't like being associated with millennials. I proudly identify as a millennial.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Me too. I am an older millennial too. So
yeah, I love, I don't know if you know Heather McGee. She's on the board of Color of Change right now, and she used to be the president of Demos. But I love, okay, she does a lot of wonderful work and powerful work in the world. But she refers to herself as a millennial grandmother because she's, like, right at the cusp, and I love that idea so much.
A millennial grandmother, I love it. Okay, so something that has been really brought to the forefront, I think you mentioned this, the Black Lives Matter movement, and it's, mm-hmm, really bringing up the whole idea of privilege and, mm-hmm, as it pertains to racial identity. In your experience, have you seen the impact it has on the opportunities that are available to people, particularly the young people that you worked with?
Sure. Yes, I think, if it's okay, maybe I'll unpack that a little bit.
Okay, sure.
Cool. Just, so I know that, like you said, a lot of, like, this concept of privilege has really been brought to the forefront, you know, over the past few weeks. And, there's this one, there's so many different nuances and levels of what privilege can mean. And, but I think that there's one thing that I spoke about when we first met that I just want to bring up really quickly, because when it was told to me, it really resonated, and it became something that I could, I think, identify, and then gave me something to operate from. And it was the idea that these are not the only five, but there were five sort of primary, almost biological markers that that allows someone to have privilege when they go into the world. And these, so if someone has these five things, then it gives them an element of privilege in America. And so one is being white, one is being male, one is being heterosexual, one is being cisgendered, and one is being able-bodied and able-minded. So to me, I personally can't refute any of those things. And the idea is that of those five things, to know how many I have, to know how many you have. And when we walk into a room, know if we have more of the five or less than the five of other folks, and then operate with understanding of that, and then humility based on what the relative level of privilege in the room is. And to me, that was like, that just felt very cut and dry to me. And it was something that I could operate within. And so I think with that, I think that there are a lot of, I definitely have seen it. I think that education spaces are a little bit different, because I think an effort is made to make them just and equitable.
Definitely. And, mm-hmm. I saw that at USC for sure.
Okay, good. So I think that with young people, I feel like I have less observation there. I think that, you know, being here in Los Angeles and just looking at opportunities that have been offered to folks that I know, I think it becomes a little more apparent and prevalent. And I think that, I feel like there are a lot of efforts right now happening with like the awareness of things, whether it's like casting and writers in writers' rooms, and making right. sure that clues are inclusive, and making sure that like writers are inclusive. But I think that like, speaking, like backing up and sort of speaking in more specific terms, I think that it's like the thing that makes me have the most hope is, I think, when folks can recognize privilege, and whether it's those five markers that I mentioned, or, you know, any of the other elements of privilege that may be at play with a group dynamic or with a project, mm-hmm. to just like take action and make decisions based on those, and to create like operating working practices and working norms that ultimately address that level of privilege that's happening. Because I think it's like, ultimately, I believe it to be a very real and finite thing that will exist. And it's like, one has to actively offset it in order to make sure that it doesn't come into play, whether it's in like, you know, decision-making, or the way that a team is recruited, or, you know what I mean? Like the right. focus of the way something's done. So, does that help answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think people are becoming increasingly aware of all kinds of privileges. You know, we had the whole Me Too movement a couple of mm-hmm. years ago.
Absolutely.
And then now we're having the one that's going on right now, Black Lives Matter. So I think we're on the path of progress, and people are recognizing that, you know, we need to level the playing field. I'm pretty optimistic about the direction we're heading. Yeah.
Same. I know. I think, I've tried to take in as much information from voices that I really respect and admire, I think, over the past few weeks. And I think seeing a lot of those people who have really been invested in this work all their lives, whether they opted in or not, to, I think, for the first time, speak from a place of saying, like, this is the most hopeful I've been in my entire life. And to see these sort of like multi-ethnic coalitions coming out in support of Black Lives Matter, and like ultimately trying to identify privilege and, you know, dismantle the oppressive systems and dismantle the privilege as much as possible. I think when people like that say that they feel really hopeful, it spreads in a big way, because it does feel like an important moment on so many levels.
Yeah. I mean, there have been some big changes, like a lot of statues of certain mm-hmm. old leaders were taken down, and Aunt right. Jemima, I don't know how to say it.
Aunt Jemima, yes.
Jemima, yeah. They think of scrapping that whole, you know, the branding that they've been using for the product. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's great. I'm glad to see that they're making all these changes finally.
Right. Right. It does seem like it's it does seem like it's on the pathway. I think that these things all feel very important as well. But I think that there's also, as you know, I think there's like some deeper work to be done.
Absolutely.
On a larger level. It's like, I think that I love, brands taking such strong action and, you know, band changing their names. And I think that all these things show like solidarity and are important, but you know, my hope is that something at like a federal and a state level happens that really tries to reconcile it and repair a lot of the damage that, you know, that we've been living on for so long.
Yeah. Let's hope for the best.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Go in our favor. Don't want to talk too much about it, but I understand. Know, I get what you're saying. Okay. That's so great. Thank you so much, Scotty. I truly appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us today. Where can my listeners learn more about you and the work that you do?
Oh, absolutely. My website is scottycrow.com. Scotty with a Y, Crow with an E at the end. Scottycrow.com. And then on Instagram, I am at Scotty Crow, SCOTTYCROWE.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Scotty. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, too. Really been a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.